Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Homeownership Show with your host Richard McKenzie out of the greater Cincinnati areas and northern Kentucky and greater Dayton areas. And today's episode, Shotgun House. Say what? Yes, Shotgun House of that style from about 1919. And let's see, bonus points goes to someone who can tell me what happened in 1919 baseball related. Not that it matters, but I like trivia. In 1919, the Chicago Black Sox won the World Series but cheated, and it was forfeited, and the Black Sox scandal was 1919. So at any rate, if anybody got that, my hat's off to you. Shotgun style house, bungalow also, and also I would say of the arts and crafts style, which architecturally is from about 1880 to about 1920. So it was sort of at the tail end of that. Small house. Why do they call things shotgun houses? Because you could shoot a shotgun from the front and go out the back door, basically. This is a little different than that. There was a little half wall, partial wall blocking part of the kitchen, so technically, I suppose it wasn't a shotgun-style house, but it kind of looked like it. So this was a really fun inspection. I will say that the people who flipped this house, I'd say it was one of the better flips that I have seen for sure. And the client was a first-time home buyer, and the house was on a flat lot cut out of a slight hill. And as I have talked in the past a lot about water and drainage, it's very important to manage the water at a house. So it's always important to show the client the highest point from where the water would start in a heavy rain, which would be the rear left corner of the yard. It would flow towards the rear left corner of the house, down the driveway, down from left to right. The street also was a cul-de-sac, so at the end of the street, I actually met another hill. So it's a fairly private street, if you think about it. The rear driveway did used to have a one-car garage on it. That's gone, and there's a cobblestone, stacked stone wall, kind of reminiscent at this point of something from Scotland, keeping sheep in or whatever, but there were several drains on the driveway. In fact, there were two of them on the driveway, one of them at the walkout of the basement. And I'm trying to paint a good picture of this house for you. It was a cedar house, wood house with a stone foundation, and a very well-built house, very well-renovated house. It had a combination of hardwood floors in it that the renovators did a nice job of refinishing. And so let's describe some of the things that we see in a house of this age. 1919 again, smaller house, about 1,000 and some change square feet. And it took roughly about an hour and a half, 2 hours to do the inspection with the client. Left them with a very detailed report, lots of pictures, lots of tips, input, suggestions, recommendations, etc. The roof was a dimensional shingled roof of 13 to 15 years old, and is a 25-year roof typically for that style of shingle. And what I noted at this house was the attic had a front and back window. The windows were closed. There was a very nice soffit ventilation on each side of the house, left and right. However, there's nowhere for that air to go. So in the summer, unless somebody gets in the attic and opens the windows, that is not going to happen, and that heat's going to stay in the attic and cause the shingles to expire faster. So one of the main findings was to change those windows into maybe some glass block with a vent on each, or just something to allow air to ventilate out that both of those gable, which would then be gable vents at that if you're thinking about it that way. And on the outside also, and by the way, this house did not have central air. We have one 110-volt air conditioner in a central location in the house. and two bedrooms and one bath. So if the during the summer, the air conditioner is probably going to do a pretty good job of keeping the house cool because it's a smaller house, one story. And I suggested maybe somebody get a portable floor unit for inside the house. There were also ceiling fans in each room, so there are probably four ceiling fans in the whole house. One, two, three, four, actually five ceiling fans. And pot lights were installed, so that was kind of nice, recessed lights. Now, on the outside, I noted one thing, the basement walkout, the back door was sealed shut. That really needs to be opened up so people can have an egress to get out. There's a drain there also, and in heavy rain, we hope that the drains work well and the drainage takes water away from the house with the gutter downspout extensions. But if water does fill up on that drain during an extensive downpour, maybe changing that wooden door out to a metal door with a good seal around it is a better idea. Also at the left rear corner of the house, there was a downspout. Looks like there was probably a former cast iron drain there, and the drain probably failed over time. Not terribly rare to happen. It's pretty common, actually. And instead of keeping the water at the rear left corner on a little kickout that was on there, extending that another 25 feet with a black 4-inch solid drain tile, which is flexible plastic, extending that all the way to the front corner to allow water to go down the driveway would be a great idea. Also, typically for this age house to not have a metal chimney cap would be a benefit to help keep the chimney from further deteriorating. And it looks like it has been some mortar repair on it, and it looked fine. So that was all well and good. Now, let's focus on, again, grading and so forth. Grading was fine here at the front of the house, at the left side. There was a little concrete half wall built up against the foundation of the house to keep water flowing down the driveway. Again, managing water is really important, especially with a stone foundation. You are not going to keep all water out of a stone foundation basement. It's just not going to happen, especially in Cincinnati, where we have, you know, it's a river city. We have a lot of rain, and everybody has a little bit of water in their basements at some point. So spigots were brand new, anti-freezing kind, so that was good. They worked fine. And so let's go ahead on inside the house. Let's think about that. Inside the house, the floors have been redone. Some of them, they were the 2-inch tongue and groove, which 2-inch, so just a little bit of history here. 2-inch tongue and groove red oak versus 2 1/4. 2 1/4 actually is a little thicker and started in the late 30s to early 40s, started being prevalent. The house I live in is 1951, and I have the 2 1/4 red oak tongue and groove, very common. And this house had the 2-inch, and there's a lot more decorative patterns that they put in on the 2-inch. Nice little corners and loops and just really nice. And the person who did the hardwood floors here, who redid them, did a real nice job. A really thick polyurethane coat on them. They should last another 40 years again without redoing them, probably. On the outside, the basement windows were the original wooden single-pane, energy-inefficient windows. And I mentioned to the buyer, and she very much liked this idea of, at some point, putting in glass block windows. They don't charge any extra to put the vent in them. They add security, stability, rigidity to the house, so that would be a really good thing to do, a good use of money. For windows this size, they're about $200 each, thereabouts, so that's a good use of money, as I said. And inside the house again on the first floor, all the outlets appeared to be grounded, which was good. However, when we did get in the attic, we noticed there was some knob and tube wiring. How much knob and tube wiring? It's really hard to say. Somewhere in the neighborhood maybe of 20% perhaps. So having a licensed electrician verify that junction boxes were done right, as well as any ungrounded areas, to have those changed out with GFCI receptacles. There was at least two ungrounded outlets in the basement. Those can be changed out with GFCI receptacles as well. Also in the attic, we did discover some vermiculite insulation. It was just under the surface of what was a very dingy, grayish, greenish looking insulation, which I suppose may have been cellulose put on top of the vermiculite. But the vermiculite, what is vermiculite? Vermiculite is a mineral that was mined in a mine in Libby, Montana, years and years ago, and it contains asbestos fibers for the most part. So kicking it up and breathing it all in is not really a great thing to do. That being said, what do you do with it? Well, this was 2 to 4 inches deep, and adding another 4 inches, excuse me, 8 inches, I should say, 8 to 10 inches on top of it, and building in little walls around the scuttle opening and really kind of staying out of the attic after that is a good thing to do to encapsulate it. You don't want it stirred up. You don't want wind blowing all over it and so forth. But you do want in the attic to have those gable vents, one at the front, one at the back, to allow air to flow through and ventilate the attic better. Also in the attic was a bathroom exhaust fan. Flue is kind of a weird word to use there, but I suppose that's the best word. So you have the flexible tubing like you use from the dryers, and it had a lot of bends in it, and it was really long, and it was going to a soffit vent, and it's not going to really ventilate a fan well. It's not going to draw a whole lot of air. Too few straight shots on it, too many bends in it, and it's just too long. That needs to be adjusted somehow to allow that to ventilate better so you don't end up with moisture in the bathroom, because the bathroom, actually, the window was painted shut. It was the original wooden window. There was putting a shower curtain in front of that's a good idea to keep moisture out of the wooden window area. There was also a side fan that was not working. That can be made to work again. There was also one in the kitchen, by the way, that was not working, and that really should be working as well, even though there was a recirculating microwave fan. But that's not going to do a whole lot of good with a gas stove when you're cooking in a kitchen. You really want to ventilate that stuff outside. So a new motor in probably each one of those by a licensed electrician, possibly rewiring or tying it into the light in the bathroom or the fan fixture. Something like that is probably called for, and that could be made to work with not a whole lot of problem from a licensed electrician. So we put those suggestions in the report as well, and of course in person. What was nice about this house is it has a boiler. It has a circulating boiler, very simple machine, a closed loop system. None of the radiators were seen to be leaking. It was very toasty in the house during a day that was 28 degrees outside. I really like boilers. They're very simple, elegant things. They heat your house well, but you're left with no ductwork. So it does present a problem when it comes to cooling, and you have to have some creative solutions. You're really left with window ACs or nothing, or the third choice. Maybe you spend some bucks on getting a ductless heat pump, which if you've ever visited the Caribbean, all of the islands have ductless heat pumps because they don't need any heat. When your forecast is 74 degrees, 88 degrees, 74, 88, 74, 88, when your forecast is that like every day of the week with a guaranteed 2 p.m. shower, you don't need a whole lot of heat. You don't need any. As a matter of fact, you're trying to reduce it. So that being said, as far as cooling goes, something creative is needed. And then also you want to have that insulation in your attic pretty thick because you want to reduce the heat from pushing back into your house. So from up to down. Okay, even though hot air rises, I understand that, but 2 to 4 inches of insulation in this attic is not going to be adequate in a super hot summer day. It's going to feel pretty warm in the house. So that's something that needs to be tackled. And I mentioned that to the client. And a couple really neat features, two nice, beautiful pieces of arts and crafts style stained glass have survived in this house. Not stolen, not broken. I didn't even see any cracks in them. They really, really, really are the nice finishing touch on this in this house. And as I mentioned, all of the outlets appeared to be grounded. We had carbon monoxide detectors in. We had smoke detectors set up. Really nice job on the walls. Really smooth. As I said, the floors were just fabulous. And so then working our way down to the basement through the kitchen. Well, we did the kitchen appliances and worked our way down to the basement. What do we see in the basement? Well, the basement has a very thick stone foundation wall, probably 18 inches. The place was really built like a battleship. It's not going anywhere. It's 103 years old, and it's going to be there a whue lot longer. The flue coming off of the brand new water heater going into the chimney, there was some gap around it. That needs to be sealed with mortar, not with caulking, with mortar. And then looking at the boiler, there was one of the two pipes off of it. One of them is the pressure relief valve, and the other is not. It was more of a relief valve for the expansion tank area. That was seen as dripping, so that does need a repair. And the boiler itself was 27 years old, 105,000 BTUs, Bryant brand, and which also bought Dunkirk, just a little FYI there. So if you see something that's Dunkirk and Bryant, they're really one and the same. So that was working very well, except for that leak, and it was 27 years old. They typically can last anywhere between 25 and 40 years, depending on the parts replacement and how well it is serviced. We always tell our clients to have their furnace and AC serviced every single year without fail. So in this case, you're really just talking about the boiler. Not everybody wants to work on boilers, so it's very important to get a furnace technician who is very intimately familiar with working on circulating closed-loop boilers. One of the little surprises we found was a live mouse in the house. So live mice, when it's nice and warm inside the house and it's crappy outside. So what do you do about that? Well, I actually personally have used T-1 mouse traps. They are baited. They have a food source in them. They're not the type that snaps the thing and crushes the little varmint, but these are ones that they eat it and they, poison themselves and die. Now, what do you know about mice? Three blind mice. Yeah, they're blind. So what does that mean? That means they have another source of way of navigation, which is to say their whiskers on their face. They guide themselves with their whiskers. So when they're running around, if one gets in the center of a room, they're going to run around in circles because they have no idea where they are. They can't tell where they are. Once they get to an edge, they follow it and they keep running very quickly. So you put the mouse traps along edges, whether it's a garage edge, a basement foundation wall. You want to put them on those edges and they will find that trap and eventually you will be rid of your mouse or mice. So that's how we handled that. No big deal. Client did not get all alarmed or anything. Some of the other little interesting things we pointed out, the washer and dryer, we don't really test washers and dryers, but it's just kind of interesting to note that there's no 220 volt outlet for the dryer because it is gas. So there's a gas line there. So it's important to tell the client that they need to have a gas dryer or they have a licensed electrician install a new 220 line and outlet for that dryer. So that was important. As in the basement also, the foundation walls looked fine, nice and thick. Really did not see any deterioration of the basement walls. At the left rear corner, and this was in the property disclosure statement, there was a little seepage going on currently, and it was there also. That may be coming from underground. It may be from underneath the concrete because the left rear corner was the highest point on the hill. Maybe there's a little seepage going on that may not be able to stop. However, we did note that the left rear corner had that downspout that really needed to be extended further. So the best thing to do is some trial and error. Extend it 25 feet, see if it makes a difference. See if it reduces the seepage. If it does, that's great. If not, I don't really know of any other ways to ameliorate or remedy the situation, but it really is not something that you can do 100% to eliminate with a stone foundation house. One of the nice things to find at this house was not a lead pipe for your supply. It was copper, which was very nice, and so nothing's needed to be done there. Plumbing is all apparently done pretty well. Didn't have any complaints about the distribution line. The sewer stack, which is the 4-inch cast iron pipe coming off of the toilet, as you see, there were some considerably large rust bumps on it, which are really points where the pipe is failing, and those are going to leak. So about a 4 to 5 foot section of that drain pipe needs to be replaced by a licensed plumber, and that was put in the report and told to the client as well. The electrical panel didn't really see anything alarming in there. The doorbell was disconnected and painted over, and there was a disconnected wire coming off of the transformer for the doorbell, so I imagine that's probably why the doorbell was not functional. So that can be repaired or replaced. Doorbells are pretty common items, right? You know, at this point anyway. A couple of stray wires that really didn't go anywhere and were disconnected, those can be removed. That's not that big a deal. Overall, gee whiz, I would give this a pretty high score as far as the condition. The main beam in the house was in nice shape that was comprised of 4 2x10s. And then it also had 3 lally columns that were concreted into the floor. Those were very nicely done. No movement whatsoever. Kind of nice to see an old coal chute that's been sealed because you don't have coal anymore. You don't need that for your furnace. And the footprint for the old gravity furnace, which had a nickname of the octopus, that footprint was still visible on the basement floor. And I mentioned the back door. The back door was sealed, and that needs to be either replaced by a metal door or made to operate so you can have a means of egress out of the basement. So overall, shotgun style house, give it high marks, and it was a fun one to inspect. It's fun to say shotgun house. It's fun to say arts and crafts house. It's fun to talk about 1919 and the Chicago Black Sox scandal. All happened during that time period, during that year of 103-year-old house. Happy customer and a good report. Nothing too alarming, and everything definitely can be fixed. And first-time home buyer, a lot of good stuff. Again, water, water, water. Managing the water is your number one item. And I hope this buyer does have a happy stay in this house. Until our next episode, this has been the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie. Thank you for listening.